This is Audible.
The following is a production of the Colonial Radio Theatre on the air.
No one would have believed in the last years of the 19th century that this world was being watched keenly and closely by intelligences greater than man's. That as men busied themselves about their various concerns, they were scrutinized and studied as a man with a microscope might scrutinize the transient creatures that swarm and multiply in a drop of water. Yet across the gulf of space, minds that are to our minds as ours are to those of beasts that perish, intellects vast, cool and unsympathetic, regarded this earth with envious eyes, and slowly and surely drew their plans against us.
The chances against anything manlike on Mars are 1,000,000 to 1. I said, Pearson, are you even listening to me?
Oh, I'm sorry, Professor. I've seen some rather strange things.
Such as?
Well, it almost seemed to me that as I looked at it, Mars seemed to quiver.
Planets do not quiver, young man. That's just the telescope vibrating with the activity of the clockwork that keeps the planet in view.
Really? Well, it seemed to grow larger and smaller, to advance, and then recede.
Because your eye is tired.
Well, yes, that's it. I'm sorry, Professor Ogilvy. What were you saying?
I was saying that the chances against anything manlike on Mars are...
1,000,000 to 1.
So you heard that part, did you?
But what about Professor Lavelle's article in Nature?
That's what this is all about, is it, Pearson?
A huge outbreak of incandescent gas upon the planet Mars towards midnight on the 12th.
Dear, oh dear.
Lavelle's spectroscope indicated a mass of flaming gas, chiefly hydrogen, moving with an enormous velocity towards us. He's inclined to think that, this blaze may have been the casting of a huge gun in a vast pit sunk into their planet from which their shots were fired at us.
I need scarcely remind you, young man, that the planet Mars revolves about the sun at a mean distance of 140 million miles, and the light and heat it receives from the sun is barely half of that received by this world. It's much older than our world, and long before this Earth ceased to be molten, life upon its surface must have begun its course.
And since Mars is older than our Earth, it's near its end than its beginning.
That would certainly follow, Pearson, yes.
Lavelle says that during the opposition of 1894,
During the opposition of 1894, Perrotin of Nice observed a great light in the illuminated part of the disk.
And peculiar markings were seen near the site of that outbreak during the next two oppositions. How do you explain such phenomena, Professor?
Meteorites, my boy. They might be falling in a heavy shower upon the planet, or possibly a huge volcanic explosion.
You don't think that some intelligent life form might have been attempting to signal to us?
The likelihood of organic evolution taking the same direction on two adjacent planets.
1,000,000 to 1.
Quite so, Pearson. I imagine even the most hardened gambler would shudder at the odds.
All the same, don't you think a case might be made for... What the hell was that?
What?
A reddish flash, like a jet of gas.
Let me see. Out of the way. Let me see.
You see it, Professor?
I see. Extraordinary. I must make a record of it.
A signal? From Mars?
Nonsense, my boy. 1,000,000 to 1. 1,000,000 to 1.
It seems to me now almost incredibly wonderful that, with that swift fate hanging over us, men could go about their petty concerns as they did. It seemed so safe and tranquil. For my own part, I was much occupied in learning to ride the bicycle, and busy upon a series of papers discussing the probable developments of moral ideas as civilization progressed. Then came the night of the first falling star.
10 shots. Night after night, all coming from Mars.
Mm-hmm. And always about midnight.
I wonder why they stopped.
Well, I suppose 10 explosions in just over a week would throw up a lot of dust and cause a lot of inconvenience.
To whom?
Well, that's the point, my dear. Is it being done by intelligent beings? Martians, I suppose we should call them.
And Professor Ogilvy thinks not.
At this point, I'm no longer sure what Ogilvy thinks. This whole business has shaken his faith in his own convictions somewhat.
Richard, these flashes, could they be missiles or a vessel of sort?
Manned, you mean? Some sort of spaceship?
Well, is it possible?
11 days ago, I wouldn't have said...
Richard!
Oh, my God!
Richard, what's happening?
I don't know. It couldn't be.
Pearson, for God's sake, wake up, man! Pearson!
Ogilvy, you know where I live?
Of course I know where you live. Why else would I be knocking on your door? Get dressed, Pearson. It's crashed somewhere on Horsell Common.
It?
Don't tell me you slept through the whole thing.
Of course I didn't. I thought the whole house was going to come down.
Who is it, Richard?
It's Ogilvy, dear. Look, what do you mean it's crashed? You mean that object, whatever it was...
is at present lying somewhere on the common. Yes, I thought you'd be as anxious as I am to see it. It was flying eastward, over Winchester. At first, I took it for a falling star, but it left a greenish streak behind that glowed for some seconds.
It seemed to us incredibly low.
On its first appearance, I should say it was at a height of about 90 or 100 miles.
Good Lord. So everyone in Berkshire and Surrey must have seen it.
Hmm. And Middlesex, of course... Pearson. Do you hear that?
Well, it sounds like a fire. It smells like a fire.
More than one. It's the heather. The heather's on fire.
I suppose we follow the fires. The more we find, the closer we are to... it.
Pearson, I see it. By the sand pits.
Coming.
It's not any sort of meteorite. It's a projectile.
Catherine was right.
Catherine?
My wife.
Oh. Look. It's almost entirely buried in the sand. It must have splintered that fir tree in its descent.
Oh. And what we can see is about, what, 30 feet long? So how large is it, and what is it? And what the bloody hell was that?
Probably the unequal cooling of the projectile's surface. It's still too hot to approach.
It could be something inside there, if it's hollow, you know.
Of course it's not hollow!
Ogilvy... I think the end of the cylinder is rotating. Unscrewing.
It's impossible. Completely impossible.
I think there really is someone inside.
You're right. Dear God, they must be half roasted to death, trying to escape. I have to get down there. I have to help them.
Ogilvy! Ogilvy, you said it yourself. It's too hot to approach. Look, it's still glowing. You'll burn too, man.
You're right. Perhaps if I use my stick... It's no meteorite, Pearson. It's a cylinder. An artificial cylinder. And there's something alive inside it.
We met a wagoner and tried to make him understand, but the tale we told was so wild that the man simply drove on. We were equally unsuccessful with the potman who was unlocking the doors of the public house by Horsell Bridge. And then we saw Henderson, the journalist, in his garden, and managed to make ourselves understood. Ogilvy told him all that he had seen. Henderson was a minute or so taking it in, and then he went to the railway station in order to telegraph the news to London.
Dead men from Mars.
What was that, Mr. Pearson?
Dead men from Mars. The story in the Daily Chronicle. Some sort of vessel has crashed, bringing men from another world.
Typical. We have enough trouble with the bloomin' Irish.
Well, in fairness, these fellows are dead, or so it's supposed.
More toast, Mr. Pearson.
Oh, no, thank you, Mrs. Wayne. Breakfast was most satisfying. Men from Mars, eh? Something like that might actually be worth leaving London for.
I'll still have to charge you rent.
Yes. Perhaps I can stay with my brother Richard and his wife. They live somewhere near there. I should probably write to him. Yes.
Quite a considerable gathering.
Yes. My wire to the Astronomical Exchange roused every observatory in the Three Kingdoms. I'm expecting Stent, the Astronomer Royal, any time now.
I don't think everyone here has an interest in pure astronomy, Ogilvy.
I'm bound to agree. The term extraterrestrial has no meaning for these common folk.
I think I can see my butcher in the crowd.
Yes, and my golf caddy. Well, you boys, get away from that, it's dangerous! Wretched little monsters.
People must have come from as far as Woking and Chertsey to watch the men come out of the cylinder.
Men. Yes. About that, Pearson. Now that I've had time to think about it, it seems to me entirely likely that this unscrewing process is automatic. There may not be anyone inside there at all.
But you'll agree, Ogilvy, that the cylinder must have been made by someone.
Men from Mars, no doubt.
Even if it is automatic, think what it might contain. A manuscript, perhaps. Coins and models and so forth.
And who's going to translate the manuscript, pray tell?
It's as good a theory as any other.
Let's postpone the theorizing until the workmen finish unscrewing the cylinder, shall we?
Are they having any luck with that?
No. They gave up some hours ago. It refuses to go any faster. Very irritating. Is your wife here?
I didn't really think it was appropriate. Actually, I rather wish I had now. Practically the rest of the village is all here. Or rather festive.
Hey! You there! Get away from the edge, you blithering idiot! I shouldn't have to tell a grown man not to...
God, I think you fell in. Stand back, everyone. Everyone stand back, please.
Can someone help keep these idiots back? We don't know what's in that confounded thing, you know!
You down there, give me your hand.
Pearson? I think it's about to open.
Come on, quickly, man, or you'll be crushed. God. The poor...
An accident. A horrible accident. They couldn't have known.
They?
Something is emerging. Look.
You were right, Ogilvy. It's not remotely manlike.
It's not, is it? I see. Tentacles. It's the skin. It's glistening like wet leather. It's pulsating. Something fungoid, perhaps? No.
It's so big. The size of a bear.
It's no bear, Pearson.
I didn't say it was a bear. I said it was the size of a bear. Why is it making that awful sound? Is that natural, do you think?
It may have difficulty breathing. The atmosphere of Earth contains far more oxygen than that of Mars.
Ogilvy, I think it's looking at me.
It's fallen into the pit.
Can you see it?
Another one. There's another one. What ugly brutes. How many are in there?
Ogilvy, run.
That man's death was just an accident.
I said run. Everyone, get away from here. You must get away from here now.
After the glimpse I had of the Martians emerging from their cylinder, I was a battleground of fear and curiosity. I didn't dare to go back towards the pit, but I felt a passionate longing to peer into it.
I began walking in a big curve, seeking some point of vantage, and continually looking at the sand heaps that hid these newcomers to our earth. Sunset faded to twilight, and there was scarcely an intimation of movement from the pit. As dusk came on, a slow movement upon the sand pits began again, a movement that seemed to gather force as the stillness of the evening about the cylinder remained unbroken.
Good God, what's that?
The deputation's arrived. One of them's waving a flag, see?
Understandable. These are...
Martians.
Yes, I suppose so. These Martians are clearly intelligent creatures, in spite of their repulsive forms. Obviously, these fellows have decided to show them that we, too, are intelligent.
Do you recognize any of them?
Well, that stand at the front there. And I think I see Henderson. I don't recognize the chap with the flag.
Lavelle, perhaps?
Perhaps.
Ogilvy, did you see that? A sort of greenish smoke.
Something's definitely happening, my boy.
They're killing them, Ogilvy.
Some sort of heat ray. It's turned them to fire.
It swept them out of existence. It didn't mean any harm, and that thing just killed them. Why? Why would they do that?
Even the pine trees are on fire, as far away as Naville.
If that heat ray had swept through a full circle...
I know, Pearson, you were right. We have to get away. If there's anywhere that can be safe from... Get down!
The Ogilvy! Suddenly, I was alone upon this dark common, helpless... Unprotected. Like a thing falling upon me from without came fear. With an effort, I turned and began a stumbling run through the heather. Once I turned, I didn't dare look back. I felt I was being played with, that when I was upon the very verge of safety, this mysterious death, as swift as the passage of light, would leap after me from the pit about the cylinder and strike me down.
Richard? Is that you? Richard? Richard! Richard, sit down. What's happened to you? You look so haggard. Dinner's cold, I'm afraid.
I don't care about dinner. Drink. Get me a drink.
There's tea.
Wine. The bottle. Give me the bottle.
What's wrong? Did something happen on the common?
Did something happen? They're dead, Catherine. They're all dead, all of them, even Ogilvy.
Professor Ogilvy?
The Martians. There were things in that cylinder, creatures.
And they killed everyone?
They have some sort of a device. It slew them. Swiftly, silently.
A device can do that?
I saw it. Somehow they're able to generate a beam of intense heat. Ogilvy called it a heat ray.
And he's really dead?
Oh, he's dead all right. The whole deputation is dead. Anything combustible turns into flame at the touch of this heat ray.
Richard, they may come here.
No, that's the one thing I'm certain of. I don't think there's any danger of them establishing themselves on the Earth.
No danger? You just said they killed everyone in sight.
I've seen those creatures. The horror of them, Catherine. But they're the most sluggish things that ever crawled on the earth. They can scarcely move. They may keep the pit and kill anyone who comes near it, but at least they can't get out of it.
But why not?
Probably the gravitational difficulty. The force of gravity on this planet is 3 times what it is on the surface of Mars.
Then a Mars man?
A Martian.
A Martian would weigh 3 times more than he would on Mars.
Yes. His muscular strength would be the same, but his body would be a cope of lead to him. I'm just guessing, though. Ogilvy would know more about it.
Poor Ogilvy. To think of him still lying there, dead.
He's not. There's nothing left of him, just ashes. Damn the man! Why did he have to... They've done a foolish thing, Catherine. They're dangerous, mad with terror, perhaps.
Perhaps they didn't expect to find any living things.
or any intelligent living things.
A shell in the pit.
A what?
A shell in the pit. Well, that's how they do it, the military. Fire a shell into that pit. If the worst comes to the worst, it'll kill them all.
Richard, this is war. People must be warned about the heat ray.
I don't see how. People are probably already on their way from the city to see the cylinder.
And there's no way to stop them.
All night long, the common from Horsall to Maybury was deserted and brightly ablaze. And yet, few people in Woking even knew that the cylinder had opened. For the most part, the daily routine of working, eating, drinking, sleeping, went on as it had done for countless years, as though no planet Mars existed in the sky. If you'd drawn a circle with a radius of 5 miles around the Woking sandpits, I doubt if you would have had one human being outside it whose emotions or habits were at all affected by the newcomers. Now and again a light ray, like the beam of a warship's searchlight, swept the common, and the heat ray was ready to follow. This cylinder was sticking into the skin of our planet Earth like a poison dart was. But the poison was scarcely working yet. In the rest of the world, the stream of life still flowed as it had flowed for immemorial years. The fever of war that would presently clog every vein and artery had still to develop. At about 11, a company of soldiers came through Horsall and deployed along the edge of the common to form a cordon. Later, a second company marched through Cobham to deploy on the north side of the common. The next morning, about 400 men of the Cardigan Regiment started from Aldershot. A few seconds after midnight, the crowd in the Chertsey Road saw a star fall from heaven into the pine woods to the northwest. This was the second cylinder.
That was the last train.
Last train till morning, sir.
Damn!
Wanted to see the Martians, eh?
Actually, my brother lives quite close to the... Well, frankly, yes.
I'm sure they'll still be here in the morning, sir.
Will they, though? There hasn't been any more news about them. No special edition, nothing. What's going on down there?
How did you sleep, dear?
Badly. Got up early, chatted with the neighbours. No chance of going back onto the common.
I can't imagine why you'd want to go back, Richard. I spoke to Mr. Wilcox. He says it's the second cylinder they're shelling.
In the hope of destroying it before it opens, no doubt.
He's of the opinion that the troops will be able to destroy the Martians before the day's out.
Let us hope so.
Richard, what's that?
Dear Lord, no. Get down!
Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh! That was the heat ray.
It was. Look out there. The tops of the trees are burning.
And the college roof. I think I can get a better view.
Don't go out there.
Ah!
Catherine, are you all right?
The chimney. It hit the chimney.
We're within range of the heat ray now. We can't stay here. We've got to go, Catherine.
Where are we to go?
Well, you have cousins at Leatherhead, don't you?
Leatherhead? How are we to get to Leatherhead?
The landlord of the Spotted Dog. He has a horse and cart.
Will he let you have it?
I'll buy it if I have to.
He'll want to use it himself.
Then I'll rent it.
You can't rent it. We're not coming back.
You're not.
Richard!
I have to see Catherine. With Ogilvy dead, there's no one else. No one truly capable of understanding. Good boy. Good boy. Get in the cart, Catherine.
Excuse me, sir. It's not safe to stay here. Orders of the military. You're going to have to leave.
What does it look like we're trying to do?
You're with the artillery?
Yes, ma'am.
What news?
Well, the Martians seem to be building something in that pit of theirs, ma'am. No idea what, though. Seems as though they're tied to the pit by their sheer heaviness, though.
Just as I said.
They probably can't do much more than crawl a little way out of it.
And the heat ray?
The heat. That weapon of theirs. Well, we've spotted smoke in the Byfleet Pine Woods eastward and Woking to the west.
Woking? Well, then they're headed for London.
Richard, your brother.
They're setting fire to everything within range. Now, will you two please get out of here?
Leatherhead is about 12 miles from Maybury Hill. The scent of hay was in the air through the lush meadows, and the hedges on either side were sweet and gay with multitudes of dog roses. My wife was curiously silent throughout the drive, oppressed with forebodings of evil. Thick streamers of black smoke, shot with threads of red fire, were driving up into the still air, throwing dark shadows upon the green treetops eastward. We got to Leatherhead without misadventure about 9 o'clock, and the horse had an hour's rest while I took supper with my cousins and commended my wife to their care. For my own part, something very like the war fever that occasionally runs through a civilized community had got into my blood, and in my heart I was not so very sorry that I had to return to Maybury Hill that night. I was even afraid that the last fusillade I'd heard might mean the extermination of our invaders from Mars. It was nearly 11 when I beheld it. It was the third falling star. And then, abruptly, my attention was arrested by something moving rapidly down the opposite slope of Maybury Hill. How can I describe it? A monstrous tripod, higher than many houses, striding over the young pine trees and smashing them aside. A walking engine of glittering metal, and I was galloping hard to meet it. I wrenched the horse's head hard round to the right, and in another moment the dog cart heeled over upon the horse and I was flung sideways and fell heavily. The horse lay motionless. His neck broke the poor brute. I lay helplessly in full sight of the marsh. I expected nothing but death. I have a dim memory of the foot of a Martian coming down within a yard of my head. In another moment, the colossal mechanism went striding by me and passed uphill towards Parford. And then, very slowly, I realized that, by a miracle, I had escaped. My God. They're talking to one another. I had a vague idea of going on to my own house, and that was as much motive as I had. I staggered through the trees and finally splashed out into the lane that ran down from my home. Oh God. Oh God, oh God. Oh God. They're here.
Who is that?
It's all right. I'm not armed.
I am.
I thought you were one of the Martians.
Oh, I thought the same about you. They're out of the pit now. They've got these machines. They're like ironclads.
I know. I just saw one.
Don't light the lamp! If they see it, they'll... Hey, I know you.
Well, you should. This is my house. You're the soldier I spoke to this morning.
12th Horse Artillery. I told you and your wife to leave here. Why'd you come back?
I'm starting to ask myself the same question. I suppose you could say I wanted to be in at the death.
In at the death. Oh, there was plenty of death, all right, Mr...
Pearson, Richard Pearson. Why did you come here? Were you trying to hide?
That's it.
Here, take some whiskey. And for God's sake, put that gun away, please. Tell me what's happened.
What hasn't happened? They wiped us out.
Here.
God, that's good stuff.
Now tell me about the Martians.
We were firing across the common. It seemed to me like the first party of Martians were crawling towards their second cylinder under cover of a metal shield. Then this shield, it rose up on metal legs.
It was one of the fighting machines.
My horse trod in a rabbit hole and came down. I was thrown into a depression in the ground. That was when the gun exploded behind me. The ammunition blew up.
Caused by the Martian heat ray, no doubt.
It must have been. When I came to, there was fire all about me. And I was lying under a heap of charred dead men. My mates.
I'm sorry. Nothing could have prepared you for this, I know.
I lay still, scared out of my wits. We'd been wiped out, and the smell like burnt meat. I saw that metal monster was walking to and fro, and it had a kind of metal arm and a funnel, and that's where the heat ray came from. In a few minutes, there wasn't a living thing left upon the common, and every bush and tree was burning. That metal giant saved Woking Station until the last. The whole town's just a heap of fiery ruins now.
The whole town?
And then I saw a second of those titans they built climbing up out of the pit. It followed the first, and that's when I began to crawl very quickly across the hot ash towards here.
I'm glad you arrived safely.
I almost didn't. I saw one of those Martian giants pursue a man. Catch him up in one of those steely tentacles and knock his head against the trunk of a pine tree. It wasn't till after nightfall that I made a rush for it and got over the railway embankment. You shouldn't have come back, Mr. Pearson.
Yes, I'm afraid you're right. The whole of Woking gone. Oh, Warwick, please say you got out of London. Have you eaten?
Not since midday.
There's some mutton and bread in the pantry. You're welcome to it.
Thanks.
When we had finished eating, I looked out at the study window. In one night, the valley had become a valley of ashes. The fires had dwindled now, but the countless ruins of shattered and gutted houses and blasted and blackened trees that the night had hidden stood out now, gaunt and terrible in the pitiless light of dawn. Never before in the history of warfare had destruction been so indiscriminate and so universal. And shining with the growing light of the east, three of the metallic giants stood about the pit, their cowls rotating as though they were surveying the desolation they had made.
The pit looks even bigger this morning. What do you suppose those puffs of green smoke are?
God knows. Perhaps if we got closer...
Not bloody likely.
Pity. I'd like to look at those fighting machines of theirs. Are they intelligent mechanisms? I suppose such a thing is possible. Or does a Martian sit within each, ruling, directing, using, like a man's brain sits and rules his body?
What are you asking me for?
I wonder how a steam engine might seem to an intelligent lower animal. If I could only examine them.
Okay. You can risk your neck that way if you like, mister. But I'm making my way to London. I've got to rejoin my battery.
Yes. And I should return to Leatherhead.
Is that where your wife is?
With her cousins, yes.
But then you should be with her. Take her somewhere safe, if anywhere in England is safe anymore.
Well, not if the Martians have those machines. We'll go to New Haven, get out of the country.
Oh, I don't blame you, sir.
You could do the same, you know.
Nah. I let my mates down yesterday. I have to do something to help destroy these bloody Martians.
Well, then. Then I suppose I'll bid you farewell.
Where the hell do you think you're going?
To Leatherhead.
Have you forgotten? There's one of them cylinders between us and Leatherhead with those metal giants guarding it.
I'll take my chances.
It's no kindness to the right sort of wife to make her a widow, Mr. Pearson.
Well, then what do you suggest?
You come with me. Under cover of the woods, northward as far as Epsom. It's a big detour, but you'll reach Leatherhead alive.
I suppose so.
We're going to need to take some of that whiskey and any food we can get in our pockets.
The other houses in the district seemed deserted as we crept down the ill-made road by which I'd come overnight. In the road lay a group of three charred bodies close together, struck dead by the heat ray. Here and there were things that people had dropped, a clock, a slipper, a silver spoon and the like. Save ourselves, there didn't seem to be a living soul on Maybury Hill. The majority of the inhabitants must have escaped by way of the old Woking Road. We pushed through the woods and towards the railway without meeting a soul. There was not a breath of wind, and everything was strangely still. And even the birds were hushed. After a time, we drew near the road, and as we did so, we heard the clatter of hooves, and saw through the tree stems three cavalry soldiers riding slowly towards Woking. It was a lieutenant and a couple of privates of the 8th Hussars.
Well, well, you're the first men I've seen coming this way this morning. What's brewing?
Guns destroyed last night, sir. Been trying to rejoin battery.
And what about this chap?
I'm just trying to get to my wife.
I see. Not one of ours, then?
I'm not one of anybody's. My name's Pierce, and I'm an astronomer.
You'll come in sight of the Martians, I expect. About half a mile along this road, sir.
These Martians? What the dickens are they like?
Giants in armor, sir. 100 feet high. 3 legs and a body like aluminium, with a mighty great head in a hood. Sir.
What confounded nonsense.
Well, you'll see, sir. They carry a kind of box, sir, that shoots fire and strikes you dead.
What, do you mean a gun?
No, sir. It's called a heat ray. Well, this man calls it a heat ray.
I'm afraid it's perfectly true, Lieutenant.
Now, look here. What's your name, soldier?
Essex, sir. Like the county.
Now, look here, Essex. We're detailed here, clearing people out of their houses. If you want to get back into the fray, you better go along and report yourself to Brigadier General Marvin. 1/2 mile, you say?
At most.
Well, I suppose it's my business to see them. You'll find the Brigadier General at Weybridge. Know the way?
I do, sir.
Then tell him all you know. Walk on.
By Byfleet Station, we emerged from the pine trees and found the country calm and peaceful under the morning sunlight. We were far beyond the range of the heat ray there, and had it not been for the silent desertion of some of the houses, and the knot of soldiers standing on the bridge over the railway and staring down the line towards Woking, the day would have seemed very like any other Sunday. Through the gate of a field, we saw, across a stretch of flat meadow, 6 12-pounders standing neatly at equal distances.
Bows and arrows against the lightning. They haven't seen that heat ray yet.
No one in Weybridge could tell us where the headquarters were established. The whole place was in such confusion as I'd never seen in any town before. Carts, carriages everywhere, the most astonishing miscellany of conveyances and horse flesh. Grenadiers in white were warning people to move now or to take refuges in their cellars as soon as the firing began. We remained there until midday, and at that hour we found ourselves at the place near Shepperton Lock where the Wey and Thames join. Then, in the direction of Chartsey, came the sound of a gun.
It's starting.
The soldiers will stop him!
You see them yonder?
I see them. There's 4 of them.
The heat ray.
God, not again. The water! Get under the water!
Did everyone hear that?
You all need...
Just get in!
Whoa!
lies!
Mr. Pearson, keep your voice down! Mr. Barry was up all night with his tooth. He hasn't had a wink of sleep.
Mr. Barry has got to get out of here. We all do.
What are you on about?
The Martians! The bloody Martians!
Mr. Pearson! Language.
They're coming this way. We're all in danger if we stay.
The newspapers say those things can't even get out of that pit they're in. Something to do with, gravity or something. I don't know.
They were wrong. They're out of the pit and moving. This is the latest edition. Read this.
All right. God. See here. Martians, Martians, Martians. Yes, yes. Metallic shield. Spider-like machines. 100 feet high. Wrecked walking station. And massacred an entire battalion of the Cardigan Regiment. Great anxiety in West Surrey.
It says they're advancing. There's already fighting going on in Weybridge. And guns have been heard in Hampton Court Station.
But they're not supposed to be able to get out.
Well, they are out. Wait. Do you hear that?
It's Big Ben.
No. There's something else. They're here already.
Finally coming around, are you? Can I get you some water?
Oh, I think I've had enough water to last me a lifetime. Oh. Where the hell am I?
Do not blaspheme, sir. Remember, I saved your life.
And I'm very grateful, Reverend. Where's Essex?
Essex? A weary walk from here, sir.
Not the county, the man. An artillery man. Have you seen him?
I saw only you in the water.
Damn it! And what are the fighting machines?
Those objects.
Yes.
What do you know of them? What do they mean?
Mean?
Why are these things permitted? What sins have we done? The morning service was over. I was walking through the roads to clear my brain for the afternoon, and then fire. Earthquake. Death. As if it were Sodom and Gomorrah. All our work undone. What have we done? What has Weybridge done? Everything destroyed. The church. We rebuilt it only 3 years ago. Gone. Swept out of existence. Why?
I wish I could tell you, Reverend.
The smoke of her burning goeth up for ever and ever.
Yes, I expect so. Look, are we anywhere near Sunbury?
What are we to do? Are these creatures everywhere? Has the earth been given over to them?
Sunbury, are we far from there?
Only this morning I officiated at early celebration.
Yes, I know, but things have changed. The celebration is cancelled. You must keep your head, Reverend. There's still hope.
Hope?
A plentiful hope. These metal giants aren't demons, they're Martians. Every 24 hours they bring more reinforcements to this world. This is a war we're fighting.
This is no war. This is the beginning of the end.
Oh.
The great and terrible day of the Lord, when men shall call upon the mountains and the rocks to fall upon them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth upon the throne.
Be a man. You're scared out of your wits, and so am I. What good is religion if it collapses under calamity? Think of what earthquakes and floods, wars and volcanoes have done to men. Did you really think God has exempted Weybridge? He's not an insurance agent.
How can we escape? They're invulnerable, pitiless.
Neither the one nor perhaps the other. And the mightier they are, the more sane and wary we should be. I know they can be killed, I'm sure of it.
How can Satan's ministers be killed?
We're in the midst of battle. The Martians are over yonder, and if we don't get out of here, the fighting machines will be coming our way.
Do you hear that?
Come on, we need to follow this path northward. They're almost certainly heading for London if they're not there already. God only knows what conditions are like there. smoke.
Smoke?
Well, that's what it says here.
What exactly is that?
It appears to be some kind of military dispatch. I found it in the mud. The Martians are able to discharge enormous clouds of a black and poisonous vapor by means of something. I can't make that point out. They have destroyed Richmond, Kingston, and I must say Wimbledon, and advancing towards London, destroying everything on the way.
Judgment Day is upon us.
No, the black smoke is a weapon, but what does it do?
You read it for yourself, Mr. Pearson. It kills.
Well, yes, but so does the heat ray. Does this have some sort of secondary purpose? Do they want the bodies for some reason? Smoke, a vapor. Does it diffuse? If not, what happens to it?
Hide!
Huh? Seems to be heading towards Staines.
That ghastly cry!
I've heard it before. I wonder what it means.
Why should it mean anything?
Because we're dealing with an intelligence. An alien intelligence, but an intelligence nonetheless. We have to understand them in order to defeat them.
These agents of Satan don't seem to understand us, and they are close to achieving total extermination.
But do they grasp that we're organized, disciplined, working together?
We are to these leviathans as a disturbed hive of bees.
And they'll stop them in London. They have to. They'll have prepared pitfalls. The powder mills at Hounslow will be ready as a snare. Then another cylinder fell, a brilliant green meteor. Before the guns on the Richmond and Kingston line of hills began, there was a fitful cannonade far away in the southwest, guns being fired haphazardly before the black vapor could overwhelm the gunners. Never once did they have the ghost of a chance against the Martians. Wherever there was a possibility of guns being laid for them unseen, a fresh canister of the black vapor was discharged. And where the guns were openly displayed, the heat ray was brought to bear. Sunday night was the end of the organized opposition to their movements. After that, no body of men would stand against them, so hopeless was the enterprise. Before dawn, the black vapor was pouring through the streets of Richmond, and the disintegrating organism of government was, with a last expiring effort, rousing the population of London to the necessity of flight.
Get down off that cart.
It's not a cart, it's a chaise, and it's mine.
It's mine now, get off of it.
Leave me alone.
Hey, what do you think you're doing?
Keep out of this, mister. It's the end of the world, and that means every man for himself.
A real man wouldn't terrorize a lady. Now step away.
Should have minded your own business, you bloody toff. Oof. Now bugger off.
That was a mistake, my friend. I used to box at college. In fact, I got quite good at it. Ruffian. Madam, are you all right?
There's room on the chaise for two. All he had to do was ask.
Fine. In that case, I'm asking. Any chance of a lift?
Where are you headed?
That's a very good question. Not as far as America. Chelmsford, I suppose. I have friends there.
I could take you as far as Chelmsford, I guess. Climb up.
Why, thank you. I don't believe we've been properly introduced, madam. My name is Pearson, Warwick Pearson.
Elphinstone, Mrs. George Elphinstone.
Pleasure to meet you. Shall I take the reins?
No, you take this. In case we run into more trouble.
A gun?
What gun?
You had a gun the whole time. You let me fight that brute.
My husband said I was only to use it in an emergency.
Did he? Well, that sort of felt like an emergency from where I was standing. Forgive me for asking, but where is your husband? Shouldn't he be with you at a time like this?
He's a surgeon. We live at Stanmore.
Surgeon, eh? What a coincidence.
You're a surgeon, too?
Well, no. Not yet. I'm a medical student. I'm sorry. Please go on.
Well, he was visiting a patient in Pinner when he heard about these Martians. He hurried home, had me pack some provisions, and told me to drive on to Edgware and catch a train from there.
And he stayed behind?
To warn the neighbours. He said he'd overtake me about 4:30.
Well, it's nearly 9 now, and there's no way to get to Edgware. There's just too much traffic. We'd be better off heading for St. Albans or New Barnet. No, that'd be hopeless, too. Forget about taking me to Chelmsford. Our only chance is to head for Harwich. would get out of the country altogether.
But George...
would have been here by now if he could, yes? I promise to protect you on his behalf. It just so happens I'm an expert shot.
As well as a champion prize fighter.
I never said I was a champion. I only said I was quite good.
Have you actually seen these Martians, Mr. Pearson?
Oh, please call me Warwick. And, yes, I have. They're monstrous things. The pool of London was filled with steamboats taking fugitives out of the city. It was a mad confusion. I saw boats and barges jammed in the northern arch of the Tower Bridge. People were actually clambering down the piers of the bridge to try to jump onto the passing craft. And then a Martian began wading down the river. An hour later, there was nothing left but wreckage.
Gracious.
They're in possession of the whole of London now. Those metal things have been seen at Highgate, even Neasden. There's a rumor that half the members of the government have gathered at Birmingham, and that mines are being laid across the Midland counties.
As my brother and Mrs. Elphinstone went on towards the south of Barnet, the main road became a boiling stream of people, a torrent of human beings rushing northward, one pressing on another. They were all thirsty, weary, and footsore. A great bank of dust, white and luminous in the blaze of the sun, made everything within 20 feet of the ground grey and indistinct.
Let's go back, Warwick. We cannot cross this... this hell.
We must.
George was right. We should have taken the train.
When are you going to accept it? George is dead! I'm sorry, Mrs. Elphinstone. I don't know what I'm saying. The first cylinder practically landed on my brother's doorstep. I'm worried about him, too, and his wife. Your husband couldn't have known how crowded the streets were. I promise you, you'd never have got near to the central terminus.
Warwick, look.
Another cylinder. What was that, the fifth, the sixth?
They swept through Chipping Barnet with the torrent. The din and confusion were indescribable. But in and beyond the town, the road forked repeatedly, and this relieved the stress to some extent. Near East Barnet, they halted for the rest of the afternoon, and began to suffer the beginnings of hunger. The night was cold, and neither of them dared to sleep. In the evening, many people hurried along the road near their stopping place, fleeing from unknown dangers before them, and going in the direction from which my brother had come. Had the Martians aimed only at destruction, they might easily have annihilated the entire population of London as it spread itself slowly through the home counties. This was no disciplined march. It was a stampede, gigantic and terrible, without order and without a goal. 6 million people, unarmed and unprovisioned, driving headlong. It was the beginning of the rout of civilization. The massacre of mankind. Warwick preferred to push on at once to the coast rather than wait for food, though both of them were very hungry. Near Tillingham, they suddenly came in sight of the sea, and the most amazing crowd of shipping of all sorts that it is possible to imagine.
I suppose when those sailors couldn't go up the Thames any longer, most of them came on to here.
Thank the good Lord they did. I see a craft of every kind. Yachts, battleships, ocean tramps.
I don't know about you, Mrs. Elphinstone, but I'd prefer something a little more secure. Something like... yes, something like that.
What?
Look out there. Very low in the water. An ironclad.
The Thunder Child.
The only warship in sight.
You don't really suppose they'd let us on board, Warwick? They're here for our protection.
And probably not the only ones. See that black smoke in the distance?
Black smoke?
Not from the Martians. I think that must be the Channel Fleet. Not that they can do any good.
You're always the optimist, aren't you, Warwick?
Always the realist, Mrs. Elphinstone. That's why I propose to get out of England as soon as possible.
But together...
I appreciate it's not really the done thing, but the proprieties will have to be ignored if we want to stay alive. Do you have objections to that?
None at all. I'd rather die than trust myself friendless in a foreign country.
Well, I doubt that the French and the Martians are all that similar, but that suits me fine. We've got to get down to the beach. Get the attention of one of those paddle steamers. You have money, I hope?
Well, don't you?
It may surprise you to learn this, but a medical student doesn't make a great deal.
£36.
36?
For the two of us, I trust.
Mm-hmm.
That's robbery.
That's life, lady. If you don't value yours, I wish you good luck with the Martians.
All right, all right. I'm sure we have one, two...
This should be enough.
That'll do it.
Where are you bound?
Do you care?
Where?
Ostend. Does that suit you?
So long as there are no Martians there, it suits me fine.
Is there food?
There is, but it's not cheap.
Of course it isn't. Forgive me, but I was under the impression that pirates were a thing of the past.
You have my sympathies, mister. I'm glad she's not my wife.
We're not married. The guns! They're coming.
Where's it coming from?
Mr. Robinson, get us out of here!
In the south! Look!
Mr. Robinson!
It's getting closer!
Oh, my God!
We're not going to make it out in time.
We have to! I'm not going to die here!
It's the Thunder Child!
The what?
The Thunder Child! The Thunder Child!
The torpedo ram!
It's no good. They can't be stopped.
Shut up!
Oh, you said the same thing.
I know. Hold on!
Why doesn't this ship fire?
He's not going to fire. He's going to ram the Martian!
The man's a fool!
Come on, Thunder Child!
Gah!
Cover your eyes!
They got the ship!
The engines must still be working. It's not stopping. It's going to hit. It's going to hit.
But cut it down. The bloody thing's cut down.
We can get away.
Mr. Robinson, what the hell are we waiting for? Get us out of here.
I don't see the Thunder Child. It's gone. They saved us and... they're all gone.
The town in Sheen, it seemed, had escaped destruction. But the place was silent and deserted. The Reverend Linnet and I happened on no dead, though the night was too dark for us to see into the side roads. My companion suddenly complained of faintness and thirst, and we decided to try one of the houses.
This place should be safe for now. We're far enough away from the black vapour.
Our fate will find us out eventually.
Please yourself. And don't light any matches. We don't want to be seen. For the time being, Reverend, we're cut off from the rest of the world.
What do you suppose became of the owners of this house?
If they had any brains at all, they're probably on their way out of the country. And I'm still here. I wonder what that says about me. And Catherine, what's become of Catherine?
Your wife, Mr. Pearson.
The last time I saw her was at Leatherhead. Is she still there, terrified, in danger? She must be mourning me as a dead man already.
We are dead. The entire human race. We simply haven't realized it yet.
Oh, shut up! If there's any consolation, it's that the Martians are probably moving toward London.
Where your brother lives.
He won't be there now.
You can't know that.
Perhaps I have faith, Reverend. Just stay away from me. This house is big enough for you to do that, isn't it?
The black smoke is drifting riverward.
Are you even listening to me?
And what is all that redness?
What? What redness? What are you talking about?
Out there. Towards the river.
Let me see. What is that? Some kind of weed grown from Martian seeds? What does it mean?
This insistence on meaning... why must anything mean anything?
Because it all means something. The Martians didn't come here just to wipe us out. There is a reason for all of this. If I only knew what it was, then... there might be a way to...